that. There was a big old bright object up in the sky that gave off heat. Oh, it was the sun. First time I had seen that in so long, I almost forgot what it was. Several of you have asked about Linda. Obviously, she does not have the flu because she was already feeling better. It might have been just one of these 24-hour viruses. I certainly hope so, but thank you for asking about her. Tonight, we're going to begin a series of lessons. I know all of you have been here and heard me announce this series of lessons. I think this series will be very beneficial to my personal study, and I think it will also be beneficial to all of us. The name of the series is Why We Need, and tonight's lesson is Why We Need God. Now, I began with this lesson because of all our needs, God is number one on that list. So tonight we'll be looking at why we need God. In the subsequent weeks, we'll be looking at other subjects, but tonight, why we believe God. Why we need God, excuse me. If any of you do not have a page, I think there was one or two perhaps that were left. If you hold up your hand, we'll get that to you. It looks like everyone has one. Brethren, when you and I first came into this world, we were completely dependent on others. We had to have our parents or someone else feed us. We couldn't go to the store and purchase our own food. We had to have someone clothe us. We didn't even have the coordination to put on clothes. We certainly needed someone to protect us. We couldn't do that ourselves. So when we were first born, we were completely dependent on others. And even as we grew into toddler and adolescent, we still were basically completely dependent on other people. Now, at a certain point, and with me, it was my teenage years. At a certain point, I thought I didn't need anyone in my life. I had a job, I had a car, that's really all I needed. And so I didn't need anyone. I was completely dependent. Now, fortunately, I was raised to respect my parents, so I continued to respect them, but I really didn't need them. I could make my own decisions. In fact, when I first went off to college, I thought my dad was about as dumb as somebody with a sack of doorknobs. He didn't know anything about life. And then when I got to college, and especially when I got out of college, I realized he was one of the wisest men I'd ever known. I didn't realize that at the time, but certainly it was true. This gives me an opportunity to use one of the oldest illustrations in my notebook of illustrations. Once upon a time, a little boy, probably 5 or 6 years old, maybe a little bit older, came into the living room where his mother and father were. He was carrying his little toy suitcase, and he announced, "I'm running away from home." Well, his dad decided he would go ahead and play along a little bit, so he said, "I'm so sorry to hear that. Why do you feel you need to run away from home?" The little boy said, "Daddy, nothing is going right in my life." He said, "The students laughed at me at school today because I fell off of the swing. My teacher embarrassed me because I accidentally called her mommy instead of teacher." He said, "My big sister is always bullying me. My little brother gets all the attention around the house. I'm running away from home. I'm going to start my life completely over." Well, the dad continues to play along. He said, "Do you have everything you need?" The boy thought. He said, "Yes, I have 3/4, my toothbrush, and my teddy bear." So his dad said, "Well, we're sorry to see you go, but bye. And if you get a chance, will you let us know how you're doing?" And the little boy was shocked, and he said, "Aren't you going to drive me?" Brethren, really, that's the way it is. We think we can make these major decisions. We think we can make these minor decisions. But many times, it's just beyond us. Mankind is just needing of other things. Even when we think we are so self-sufficient, We probably are not, especially in our teenage years, our young married years. We're extremely dependent and we don't even realize it. And that's why I want to use this series of lessons to show our dependency. We begin with God. We move through other things that God has told us. We are completely dependent. Now we need to begin tonight's lesson, and we need to begin this series with this assumption. I assume everyone here believes in God. Okay, thank you. You're speaking for everyone, Israel. Everyone here believes in God. Therefore, we can use God and His Word as the main focus for our entire series. We begin tonight with those three simple points that are on your page. Brethren, do you realize that everything we know about God, God told us? We wouldn't know anything about heaven or salvation or really anything else unless God had told us. We wouldn't know anything about God. There's no history book that was there when God came into being because God was just there. Everything we know. Now, what was the first thing that God told us about Himself? I'm going to pause for just a moment. The first thing that God told us about Himself. He is our Creator. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. The light He called day, the darkness He called night. The evening and the morning were the very first day. God created. And in the subsequent days, He created everything else. On the final day of creation, He created mankind, the very pinnacle of all of His creation. And brethren, I don't think any one of us will deny that God is very interested in everything, but He is especially interested in humanity. He is especially interested in His children because it is His children that will spend eternity with Him. But notice some of the other things. Exodus 20, verse 11. "For in 6 days the Lord created the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and He rested on the seventh day." Hebrews 11, verse 3. "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. He created it with His word, so that things which are seen are not made or not created of things which do appear." In other words, He spoke them into being. There was not a particle out there of something that exploded. God spoke everything into being. But let's not stop there. Genesis 1:27. "So God created man in His own image." He's talking about mankind here. "In the image of God created He him, male and female," mankind, "created He them." Genesis 5:2. "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God created He him, male and female created He them, and blessed them in the day when they were created." Now I realize that we have reached a point in our society that our teachers are not supposed to teach that. In fact, there's a possibility that if they taught that, they could possibly lose their job, and that has happened at least in other places in our nation. But rather than do that, let me just tell you a story. No one was there in the creation. No one was there when there was a big bang, if there was. No one knows. So I believe that my opinion about this is as good as anybody else's. Thousands, maybe millions, maybe billions, maybe zillions of years ago, there was a puddle of blue-green algae at the base of a volcano. And somehow a one-celled being came into being. There was no reason for it to. There's no explanation for it to. But all of a sudden, there is a one-celled being. It just appeared and it divided. We don't know why it divided. There's no reason for it to divide, but it divided. And then it divided again and again and again. And after doing that and trying to improve itself for millions, billions, gazillions of years, all of a sudden, here is humanity. Brethren, give me a break. I don't know how anyone can believe that. And my story is just as compelling as anyone else's story. God created everything. The heavens, the earth, the trees, the grass, us. He created everything. This one-celled being could not divide enough time for us as humans to learn compassion. Where did we learn compassion? From God. Where did we learn love? From God. Sympathy. Even anger. How could a one-celled being ever teach us about anger? Today, man can divide the atom. He can do microsurgery. He has cured diseases. He's gone to the moon. Give me a break. It's easier just to believe in a creator than it is that all of this just merely happened by accident. In the beginning, God created. And God said, "Let us make man in our own image." Our next verse we read in our lesson this morning, Psalm 100, verse 3. "Know this, that the Lord is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Brethren, God is our Creator. Pause right there before we get to our next point. I was looking on the internet the other day, and I found where a scientist somewhere has written a book or an article that is getting some acclaim. I don't think it's going to go any further than that, but it is. This particular scientist believes we're all just imagining this. We're not really here. We're just imagining. Well, my question would be, where are we if we're imagining this? Anyway, give me a break. Number two, God is our Redeemer. To introduce this point in our lesson, I want to use a phrase or a word that really sounds almost unprofessional. Brethren, as far as human beings, we've messed up everything. We've messed up the world. We've messed up the climate, maybe not to the extent that some believe. We don't take care of each other. We've messed up those relationships. We've made a mess of our own lives. Romans 3:29, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And let me hasten to say, some of us do better than others. But brethren, we still need God's redemption power. I'm not going to read Romans 3:9. You can read that for yourself, but we need that. Psalm 34, verse 22, "The Lord," that's talking about the Father, "God the Father redeems the souls of His servants, and none who trust in Him shall be condemned." Now, what is this redeeming power or this redemption power? We're dependent on it. What is it? You listen as I read Psalm 103, and then you'll be ready to tell me when we're through. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. It is God who forgives all our iniquities. It is God who heals our diseases. It is God who redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies us with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, how did God do that? By sending Jesus to die on the cross. We're going to discuss that in a few weeks. That's how God redeemed us, by sending Jesus to die on the cross. Galatians 4:4-5. "But when the time had come," when the time was right, "God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law." Titus 2 verses 11 and following, "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men." The grace of God, the love of God that appeared to all men. He's writing about Jesus. Jesus teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might, here it is, redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, peculiar people. That's what we are, because we're zealous of good works. Brethren, because of God, as our Redeemer, he has given us the opportunity to be forgiven of our sins. And brethren, that is eternally important to us. So God is our Creator. God is our Redeemer. And finally, we need God because he is our provider. Listen to what we read in the book of Acts. For in him, that's God, we live and move and have our being. As also some of your poets have said, for we are also God's offsprings. And brethren, we are. And just like a parent provides the needs for his children, God provides the needs for us. I appreciated what Sonny said in his prayer. God has given us everything we need, and some of the things we want, I think he's given us all the things we want. God has provided for us. Psalm 66, 8 and 9, oh, bless God, bless our God, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. He protects our soul among the living and does not allow our faith to be moved. And we are eternally thankful for that. God is and wants to be our provider, and he is. He provides for our physical needs and our spiritual needs. I failed to put what Peter said, that God has given us all things that pertain to life and all things that pertain to godliness. But we conclude with one of the most beautiful things we could ever read from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more of value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one inch, one cubit to our stature? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Now, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all those things, not God's people, Gentiles, he says, seek. That's what they seek. For your heavenly Father knows that we need all these things. And God has promised to take care of our needs. And he's blessed us even with our wants. Brethren, still we have to put God first in our life. That's why we need him. We need him to be first in our life. And if we do, everything will turn out good. If not in this life, then certainly in the life to come. Next Sunday night, Lord willing, we're going to look at why we need the Bible. That's God's word. That's his instruction manual. And that's the book that will guide us to heaven. Perhaps tonight there's someone who needs to respond to the Lord's invitation. If it is you, won't you come as we stand together and sing?